And I was reminded of that passage in Acts 14 where Paul and Barnabas have been commissioned, sent out, supported, and gone on their first missionary journey and have gone all through Asia Minor. And toward the end of Acts 14, we read that they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that the Lord had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And that's one of the blessings and privileges that we have as the Church of Jesus Christ, when we can hear testimonies of those who have been sent out and what God has done and how he has used them. And so we'll begin with a word, I think, from Robert is the one who's going to be the spokesperson for the Schmidt clan. And then after that, Ken and Chris, just come on up. But thank you, brother.
Maybe you should wait for the thanks after I get done. I thought this was a two-minute deal. Anyway, I bring you greetings from Thailand. Sweaty cup. That's the only thing I know in Thai. It's a very hard language to learn, but it was fun to watch Dustin and Melissa communicate well with the Thai people. With that, again, Deb and I have been very blessed in a lot of ways, but one of it is to be a part of a church like this that has a church family that supports Dustin and Melissa like they have. And in a time when missions is our focus right now, they've been called to go away. We don't all have to go away, but we're all called to spread the good word and the good news of the gospel and Jesus Christ. They just felt called to go to Thailand. Anyway, we got to go. Again, thanks so much for the financial support. They feel that over there as you pray for them. It's evident when you get around there. Of course, as Dad and Mom, when we got off the airplane, there was silence because it was just tears. You know, you grab a hold of your daughter after a couple of years. Great time. The Lord led them over to Thailand. I don't know why, but only God knows that. As a parent, your prayer is that your kids will follow the Lord and strive to follow his leading. That's your prayer as a parent. And you hope that they find a Christian mate, that they get a job close by, and then have kids so you get grandkids. Close by is a relative term. If you have a cell phone, we can see them. any time that the time allows that we're awake and they're awake, because it's a 15-hour difference. So in the afternoon, like 4 or 5 o'clock, it's a good time because they're getting up. We can see them obviously through our cell phones, but in last year, the very end of the year in December, we got on an airplane and we got to go to Thailand. We landed there, and of course, I already told you the part where Melissa and I were speechless, let's say. The people of Thailand are a very gracious people, very friendly, mostly Buddhist. They're hardworking. We were around every day of the week, but they're all working. And Saturdays, Sundays, We got to spend about 2.5 weeks there. About half the time we spent where they live in Udon. And, you know, the other time we spent in a resort town and we were tourists. The part of going and being around where they live, we got to see what they're doing in their community. When you see your kids intermingling with the Thai people, they're very, obviously they can speak the language, not as good as they hope that they could speak, but it's they can communicate really well. We were walking through a food market. Did I say that right? Food market. It's just a big open area with some shades, and you can buy anything from a whole fish that's not cooked or a whole fish that's cooked, chicken, grubs, live little fish that you put on your salad, stuff that I find really interesting. I really enjoyed the food markets. But, you know, we went over to this one area, and we could tell that Dustin and Melissa, because you first have to figure out how to minister to people. You have to figure out their cultures, the ways that they do things. And we're walking through this food market. There's a lot of people, because a lot of people don't cook their own food. Kitchens are very, very tiny in Thailand. You buy your food at these markets, and then you go home and eat. So you can get it raw, but most of the stuff is prepared for you. This guy at the very end there, I mean, his face, as you can tell, I'm nervous. his face lights up, and he recognizes Dustin and Melissa. And I think that as Deb and I, we got to see our kids, you know, working or building relationships with these people. And no one is going to listen to you until you know if you care. So the whole time that we're around Dustin and Melissa in their where they live as parents, and because I'm kind of concerned. They're kind of a long ways away. I can't protect them. But Thailand is home to them now. The kids have adjusted really well. Dustin and Melissa, they love these Thai people, and they've only been there about 2 years. And most of that time, they've been trying to figure out how to talk to them. So it's, I guess it's a blessing to go there, to see your kids relating to people that have a whole different culture and a whole different way of life. I better go back to my notes before I appear too long. They've really adapted to Thailand. And like I said, Thailand is home to them. And that was something that really struck me as dad, that, you know, it's only been 2 years and it's home to them. We got to do a lot of fun things. There's a really big lake there that has a whole bunch of flowers, and I think they're called lotuses. Yes, lotus. Look at your notes. Lotus flowers. And again, as we're going to here and there with Dustin and Melissa, being able to speak the language, they love these people, and that was very apparent. And they, the Thai people, they've accepted them, it seems like. So then we spent, like I say, half the time in Udon. And then we flew back to Bangkok, and then we became tourists. We rented a van, went out to Pattaya. My wife says I say that wrong, but I'm not sure. Of course, the wife is always right, so maybe I am. We got time to spend with just the kids as just having fun. There's a lot of really cool things to do there, and the water is really nice. The weather is gorgeous. We took a day, and we got on a ferry, and we went offshore, about 45-minute ferry ride. And we got on this island, and it's really, really pretty. It's water's really, really clear, and it's really, really warm. And the water's really, really warm. I'm sitting there in my little chair under my umbrella, and I'm thinking, is this what heaven is like? Because everything that it was just really, really gorgeous. Everybody was having a good time. But as we know, heaven, I don't think we can imagine what heaven is actually like. And that's why we want to get as many people there as we can, because we don't know exactly what heaven's like, but we were just to a beautiful place on the planet, and I don't think we can imagine how cool heaven's going to be. And now we're going to have a little video, because I'm pretty proud of Dustin and Melissa, and I think it would be really kind of fun for you to see them. So Melissa sent us a little video. My wife is trying to get it to come up. And they can just give you a little update on what they're working on in Thailand. Is that about right?
Arrived in Thailand March 2020. We've just hit the 2-year mark of being in Thailand. We spent the first year in the city of Lopburi. We studied language and culture there at the OMF Training Center. May, we moved to Udon Thani, where we will be doing ministry. These first 2 years have been spent primarily studying language and figuring out how to do life here. We can now converse in Thai, but we would still consider our language to be a bit stunted. Thai is a very complex language, and it will probably take us several more years to be truly proficient. Since moving to Udon, we continued our language study, but also began networking in the area. We were able to enroll our kids in an international school, and they're really enjoying getting plugged in there. Because the school opened a location in Udon about 3 years ago, there has since been an influx of students into this area, and we're really excited to see what God does as a result of this sudden surge of missionaries here in Udon. It really feels like we're on the cusp of something big.
One of our main goals here since we arrived in Udon is to begin networking. And we've started to identify local Thai partners, Thai pastors and lay people, and really key on the ones that are focused outward and have a desire to share the gospel with their neighbors. Because of the many challenges facing the believers that are here in Thailand, many are inwardly focused, just really trying to maintain their own faith of themselves and their families. And so to find believers that are looking out to neighbors and neighboring villages is really rare. So I have begun meeting with a group of leaders and pastors, brainstorming ways that they can reach out to their communities. And we have been primarily focused on the province of Nong Bua Lampu, which is
sure what happened. I didn't touch anything.
Hello, First CRC.
Sawadika. We're so happy to greet you today and give you a brief update on how we're doing. We arrived in Thailand in March 2020, hit the 2-year mark of being in Thailand. We spent our first year in the city able to enroll our kids in an international school, and they're really enjoying getting plugged in there. Because the school opened a location in Udon about 3 years ago, there has since been an influx of missionaries into this, and we're really excited to see what God does as a result of this sudden surge of missionaries here in Udon. It really feels like we're on the cusp of something big.
One of our main goals since we arrived in Udon is to begin networking. And we've started to identify local Thai partners, Thai pastors and lay people, and really key on the ones that are focused outward and have a desire to share the gospel with their neighbors. Because of the many challenges facing the few Thai believers that are here in Thailand, many are inwardly focused, just really trying to maintain their own faith of themselves and their families. And so to find believers that are looking out to neighbors and neighboring villages is really rare. So I have begun meeting with a group of leaders and pastors, brainstorming ways that they can reach out to their communities. And we primarily focused on the province of Nong Bua Lampu, which is actually the province next to Udon Thani, where we live. It's about an hour and a half away from here. Nong Bua Lampu is home to about 500,000 to 600,000 people, and they only have 12 known churches in the whole province. And actually, out of the districts, three of them don't have any churches in them. And so one of our goals for ministry here is to really be working with Thai people and through Thai people. And we're really excited about this group of people that we've connected with, and we're really just see a lot of potential in working with them.
We just want to thank you guys for your ongoing support and your prayers, and it means so much that you guys are behind us as we pursue ministry here and share the gospel in Thailand.
Yep.
Dustin said sweaty cup, and Melissa would say that it's sweaty something else because she's a female, and they have female and male terms. Being as I was a male, I understood the sweaty cup. Just one last thing. A few years back, there's a guy in the back there that hauled me to base camp, or not to base camp, to the Agape House, and we started doing a bunch of stuff there, and his name is Cal Byes, if you don't know. And for the last number of years, we've what struck me most is if we show up, God can use us. If we stay home, he can't. So I would encourage you all to just show up someplace, and maybe it'll be out of your comfort zone, but God can use you there. So thank you for listening.
It's just good to be with you. Thank you for inviting us, and it's our privilege to be here tonight and to share these a few stories and a little bit about our life with you.
In 1917, a young Cameroon townsman started passing out Bibles in Guatemala among the Quechaquel Indians. Many of the people he came in contact with had no idea who Jesus was. Whenever he would ask them, they would say, "There is no Jesus who lives in our village. Maybe he lives there in the jungles." One day, while he was passing out Bibles, Townsend struck up a conversation with an Indian man. One day, while he was passing out Bibles, Townsend struck up a conversation with an Indian man about God's sovereignty and how all the answers to life's questions can be found in the Bible. The Indian retorted back, "If your God is so smart, why can't he speak my language?" Cameron had no words.
That became the impetus for Mr. Townsend to begin doing translation. Then later he founded the Summer Institute of Linguistics, now just called SIL, and then later he founded Wycliffe Bible Translators. The Bible translation movement started moving across the world. A bit more than 50 years after that, a young Ken Van Wertheisen participated in a Bibles for Mexico fundraiser here in Linden. And at the end of the day,
I biked to the airport where a missionary pilot was giving rides. I just wanted to see an airplane up close. The pilot came to the fence to talk to me. After learning who I was, he offered me a ride. My parents weren't there to give permission, but he assured me that he knew them and it would be okay with them. I rode in the front seat with the pilot, Gord Buys. Two others were in the back of the plane. I had never ridden in a plane before. We flew over our farm on the trapline road. I was sure my parents could see me and that I would be in trouble when I got home. After the flight, the pilot shut down the engine. The other passengers left, and the pilot, Gord Buys, talked to me. He said, "Ken, maybe someday the Lord will use you as a missionary pilot." From that point on, that thought stayed with me. God used that to challenge me, and I began pursuing aviation.
Less than 20 years after that, our family had completed training with Wycliffe and Jars. Ken had finished his flight training, and we were headed to the Philippines to help move Bible translation forward through aviation. And you partnered with us each step of the way through that endeavor.
When we started, our focus was on aviation. Over the years, as we began to understand more about Bible translation, we realized that God had equipped us to help in ways that went beyond aviation. So today, even though I am no longer serving in aviation, it's our privilege to continue to be a part of Bible translation in other ways.
My role is currently in member care. I'm connected to 35 or so Wycliffe families serving all over the world. Wycliffe's goal is for our staff to be healthy and resilient, financially, spiritually, physically, emotionally. I listen to their stories, I pray for them, I help them navigate some of the organizational processes and connect them to the resources that they need to be healthy and resilient. Ken is supporting me and praying for the work around the world.
Recently, colleagues were on Babuyan Island, a small island off the north coast of the Philippines. The New Testament translation was completed years ago and is being used in the church there. The churches are realizing that it would benefit for them to have an audio recording of the scriptures. God orchestrated for a team to go to the island recently to do that recording. They witnessed God's hand at work. God cleared the weather so the helicopter could get the recording team onto the island. God enabled them to complete the recording weeks ahead of schedule, even though there were storms daily. Completing the project early allowed them to leave the island earlier than planned. That meant that on a day when the weather actually cleared, they were ready to go. The helicopter was available, and they were able to leave the island in the small window of time when all the factors came together. We are praying for that recording to be used to strengthen the church and bring more people into the kingdom.
In 2006, Ken and I, along with a number of others, were privileged to attend the dedication of a New Testament in a place called Dabagat in the northern Philippines. It's being well used and the church is growing. But the church was not content with just the New Testament, so they identified members in their own community to be trained to be able to translate the Old Testament as well. That's now complete, and the whole Bible is going to be dedicated at the end of June of this year. It's going to be our privilege to be part of that celebration, And we're making plans to join a team going over there. It's just been on our heart to be able to do that for years, and it looks like it's going to come together for us. We look forward to telling you the stories about how we see God at work there.
In the 100 years since Cameron Townsend saw the need for Bible translation, lots has changed. Think of all the changes that happened in the world in those years in Bible translation. There have been a number of changes as Bible translation continues. 100 years ago, it was mostly Westerners going to other places and helping people see the need for Bible translation. Now churches and believers around the world are seeing the need for Bible translation and are taking on the responsibilities to make that happen.
In 1999, Wycliffe adopted what they called Vision 2025, and that says that we're working toward a Bible translation to be started in every language still needing one by the year 2025. When we put the vision out there nearly 25 years ago, it was audacious and seemed impossible. It still does. But God is at work, and His Spirit is moving. Hank and Stephanie are working on Old Testament translation for people who live in a place that we don't talk about. Missy is helping with oral Bible storying, and that's the foundation for translation in a war-torn country. Al and Alice teach the kids of translators in Papua New Guinea so that the translators can be freed up to do what God has called and gifted them to do. Kent and Amanda are finishing a translation in Papua New Guinea.
Carl and Karen are in Thailand training the next generation of translators who come from around the world to study. Allison translates exegetical helps and translation textbooks into Indonesian, so believers from that country can learn to do translation and join the worldwide effort. Members of First Church pray and give, partnering with us and with each other of those that we have just mentioned. We are very thankful for you, and we are grateful for the partnership that we have with you.
Thank you.